Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. It's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday Show. Wow. Do I have an update for you? It's been one hell of a week in my life, and I want to share that with you because I suspect you have many of the same struggles, although probably not as specific as to what I was going through this week, my family and I. You have challenges. Life comes at you fast, man. Life comes at you fast. And one thing you need to understand is that you have everything you need to overcome. And I'm not saying that, look, I think I've pretty much put to rest that I'm one of these, you know, motivational guys, new agey, you know, manifest this, manifest that. That's not really my style. If you do that, you talk like that, that's great. It's not who I am. It's just not congruent with who I am. I believe, though, and I really do believe this, that once you discover what your passion is in this lifetime and what your purpose is, and I mean, you go after that as if you're the 80-year-old lady in the grocery store and you see one last carton of milk from a half a mile away coming down that aisle. You're in the frozen food section and the dairy section is straight ahead. You can kind of see, but your glasses aren't working as well. But you see there's one gallon of milk left, and it's you and it's this 24-year-old kid, college student, both of you eyeing that same last carton of milk. That's your purpose. That's your passion. That's significance in your life. That's what you know you need to be doing. And you see that kid, all right, that pimply-faced little scrawny kid walking towards that milk, and you get that cart going, Grandma, and you make sure that wig doesn't fly off at all, and you're hauling ass towards that milk cart, and you grab it from the kid, and you say, "It's mine. Got it." That's what it's like to go for your dream. I don't know. That's what I do. That's what I did. That's what I still do every single day. Wednesday night, those of you following along the Crowley saga, it's funny, I get a lot of messages. Sam, I'm up to podcast number 400. I'm like, great. You must be right around, I don't even know, because I don't know where you're listening, whether it's iTunes, on my website, Stitcher, TuneIn app, wherever it is. But you might be around 2014, 2015. We're just getting warmed up, baby. Come on to 2017. Today's May 12th, 2017. It's awesome. It's the last, it's Friday. Okay, it's Friday, and I'm just getting to podcasting this week for a lot of reasons. Wednesday evening, our daughter Susan woke up around 11 o'clock. She's our toddler who was born at 1 pound, breezed through a trach. You guys know the story. And she got her tonsils and adenoids out Monday, May 1st. Okay, so Wednesday was May 10th. Wednesday night, she woke up in a coughing fit, which is not unusual at all. She sleeps in the same room, about 2 feet from our bed, at the foot of our bed. She's monitored through what's called a pulse ox machine. Monitors her heart rate, monitors her saturation level of her lungs, and all this good stuff. And it beeps every now and again. And, you know, we've learned to just, you know, live with all the beeps and kind of sleep through them. We know, it's funny, your body is so amazing in the sense that we wake up to the important beeps and we sleep through the less important beeps. And that's kind of how we're wired. We wake up to suction her when we know she needs to be suctioned. And we kind of just, she's fine if she's, you know, gargling a little bit. But anyway, my wife woke up. I'm like, oh, here we go again, because Susan's been going through this, especially since she had her tonsils and adenoids out May 1st. She's been going through this stage where she needs to sleep on the couch, and we go through this whole procession from the bedroom out to the couch. It's all on the same level. The master's on the first floor. And she lays on the couch, wants to watch Mickey Mouse. We refuse to turn it on because it's midnight. You're spoiled. You're not doing it. We watch Mickey 23 hours a day. You're not getting it right now. But As my wife went to get her, she noticed that she was throwing up blood, and blood was coming through her trach. I'm not going to make this a grotesque podcast. You know, if you're a little squeamish when it comes to hearing stories like that, don't worry. That's about as bad as it gets. But I will tell you, it scared the living hell out of us, because when we turned the light on in our room, I can only describe it as our two-year-old sitting up in a pool of her, in a sea of blood. I mean, her crib was just completely, and it freaked the crap out of us, because obviously that would shock anybody. It looked like she got shot. I mean, it literally looked like she got shot in the chest, because her pajamas were completely soaked, all red. We got her clothes off, rushed her to the kitchen sink, gave her kind of a quick sponge bath, and she's still vomiting up all of the, now she's vomiting and coughing up blood. Okay, well, she had her tonsils and adenoids out, so the doctor said, look, ENT said, if she starts bleeding, you write back to the hospital. Well, it's midnight, you know, or 11 at night. So I called the emergency room at Children's Hospital and gave him a heads up. We're on our way. Talked to the ENT doctor that was on call. Susan's still coughing, hysterical. And look, oh, by the way, we were in a dead sleep. You know why? Because we hadn't slept for 10 days. And when I posted on my Facebook wall. If you didn't read my wall, you got to go to facebook.com/Sam Crowley. You got to read my post from, I think it was Monday, May 8th. By the way, my 16-year-old had her wisdom teeth out Monday, May 8th. A lot going on. And I made a post about how last week sucked. And I pulled no punches. Last week, okay, May 1st to May 7th, sucked. Why? Because we didn't sleep. We got absolutely no sleep. And some of you just tuning in, we're 6 minutes, 7 minutes into the show. Hey, did I hit a motivational or did I hit drama weekly? No, this is a very motivational show, but I got to keep it real with you guys. I am so past being, when you just send out to the universe what you want, you get it back. And bullshit. No, it doesn't work. Life doesn't work that way. You know, you send out to the universe, I want a car, and the universe comes back. You get hit by a car sometimes. Okay, so let me tell you something right now. You want to be an entrepreneur. You want to go for your dream. You want to have kids, you want to be a spouse, you want to just live life. There's challenges, man. You're going to go through the valley, and you know this show well enough. If you've been listening, I'm here to report back to you that this stuff happens. But more importantly, how do you get through any of it? Like, how do you not just wave the white flag and say, you know, last week, it sucked. We didn't sleep. And when I mean no sleep, I don't mean when some people say, oh, I didn't sleep at all last night. Yeah, you did. You went to bed at 1 finally, and you had to get up for work at 6. Okay, you got 5 hours. You don't get your normal 8. Sorry. No, I mean no sleep. Up 24 hours a day, suctioning your child, caring for your child. Oh, by the way, we have 3 other kids. That's what I mean by no sleep. And last week, we were at wit's end. You know, if everybody's fighting, and, oh, we're human. Sam, you fight, you're happy. Yeah, I'm human, man. Cut me, I bleed. Absolutely. I'm as human as you are. Now, the only difference between myself and somebody else that may not be at this particular stage in life, I don't stay in the valley very long. I go to the valley. I go to a dark place. I don't stay there very long because I know I got to get out. I got to get out. And I pray hard to God to get me out. And He always brings me out, and He always brings my family out, and He always, always, always does it in the best time. Not the time I want it done, but the best time, the right time, the perfect time. So I put that post on Facebook. Last week sucked. It was one of the worst weeks I've ever had because I got no sleep, very little work done. I had coaching clients who always pick me up, so a big shout out to my coaching clients. You guys know who you are. When I get on the phone with you, the Skype calls, the cell phone calls, you always brighten my day. Selfishly, I bring on one-on-one coaching clients because they brighten my day. And if they get any benefit out of working with me one-on-one, that's gravy. But anyway, Wednesday night, it was scarier. It was one of the most scared I've ever been. We rush our daughter to Children's Hospital, and kudos to the young girl. She couldn't have been more than 21 years old working the front desk at the emergency room. She quickly, when we gave her Susan's name, she looked at her history, saw she was throwing up blood, immediately whisked us back to a place called the Child Trauma Unit. And all of a sudden, and I'm not exaggerating, there had to have been 10 to 15 people immediately surrounded us, nurses, technicians, doctors, all on Susan, hooking up the IV, looking in her mouth, blah, blah, blah. And she had stopped throwing up blood at this point, but The obvious thing was these scabs that she had formed in the back of her mouth as a result of having her tonsils and adenoids removed had busted, and I mean completely, which is like, well, you know, you got a scab to put, well, you don't want any blood going down an airway. That's always bad. And with a trait kid, it's doubly complicated. So after, you know, looking at her and trying to do this, the doctor was going in. And right there in the emergency room, he puts on the mask, his gown, and he goes in and tries to cauterize the open wound in the back of her throat. And he's jamming. I felt so bad for my daughter. They had nitrate, which is like this metallic stuff on the end of a big old wooden like skewer, something you'd like skewer chicken on the grill with, you know. This thing was long, like a big old thin toothpick, had to have been a foot long, putting it in the back of my daughter's mouth, trying to cauterize the bleeding. He tried 2 minutes, suction running in her mouth, all that. Nope, Dad, we're going to the emergency, or we're going to the operating room. To the operating room? Yeah, we have to get this bleeding stopped. Off to the OR. Boom, all of a sudden we're mobile. He's calling the OR, setting up the team, and we're literally getting whisked up to the third floor, which is the airway operating room. Did you know? Think about how amazing this is. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I know you don't know this because I didn't know this, okay? Unless you got a child with an airway problem. 50% of the airway surgeries that are performed in the world are done right here in my hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I just happen, oh, by the way, to have a child with airway issues. I'm telling you, we are way too blessed to be depressed. I hate to use the saying and sound so, oh, here's the motivation guy. We are way too blessed to be depressed. I'm 30 minutes from one of the best pediatric hospitals in the world, and I got a kid that just happens to have airway problems, okay? We were sleeping 60 minutes before. We're now watching the anesthesiologist administer, put our daughter under while we hold her before she gets taken into OR. And, oh, I see you working, God. I see what you did here. You happen to have our number one favorite, Mr. Wonderful, greatest ENT doctor in the history of the world, Dr. D. Alarcon, who's been our doctor forever since Susan's been around, doing all of her procedures, all of her scopes, all her surgeries. He happened to be the doctor on call. Oh, I see you working there. Dr. D. Alarcon comes in. Oh, it's the Crowleys. We just kind of laugh because he knows. He didn't have to say a word. Never a dull moment with Susan. So we see Dr. D. Alarcon. Oh, it's awesome. And oh, here's the weird part. We've been on this floor several times for Susan's procedures, her surgery. She has surgery about once, well, a scope. So it scopes her airway or G-tube, all that, once every 6 months. So we've been there 4 or 5 times. It's a zoo. I mean, it is Grand Central Station. They always schedule these procedures on Wednesdays. So Wednesdays, for the last 2 years, it is, okay, it's like the deli department where everybody's waiting for the ham and turkey. Just take a number. But they're doing airway procedures. It's just nuts. And they're doing it at such a high level. It's just, I'm so in awe of Children's Hospital. Just so in awe. You ever want to be grateful? Go to Children's Hospital. Just sit in the lobby. You don't have to do anything. Just sit in the lobby. Grab a cup of coffee. Sit in the lobby and watch every parent who walks their child past you. Some have hair. Some don't have hair. Some weigh 180 pounds. Some weigh 80 pounds. Some are 4 years old. Some are 14 years old. Some of them go to school. The bus picks them up at Children's, and then they get dropped back off at the end of the day at Children's. And we have the audacity to bitch and moan about how bad our day is. Come on, man. So Dr. Diala, come. There's nobody else in the hospital on this floor. We go out in the waiting room because there's nobody in OR. We're the only ones. They get Susan. They said it'll be about an hour at the most. We'll get everything taken care of. And, you know, told us I'm signing consent forms like I'm at an autograph session. It's just crazy. I mean, literally, we were just asleep an hour ago. Go out in the waiting room. Nobody there. It's just me and my wife. We're praying. We're distracted. We're looking at Facebook. Everybody says, okay, I posted. Please pray for Susan. Let me tell you, the best part about social media, Facebook especially, is the prayer community that has been following our journey since August of 2014. Even before that, when my wife was on bed rest at the end of June, just praying, all the prayer warriors. And even, and I know, I see you, my atheist and agnostic friends, I see you, okay, the ones without faith, you still send so much love to us. And that is the best part. That is the best part by far, not even a close second, of social media, is how everybody rallies around a great cause. not the other crap that you see out there. So Dr. Delacon comes out, says surgery was a success. Susan's recovering. You got to stay overnight. So we stayed overnight. And this was just last night, you know. And here's the funny part. Before we put Susan down to bed around 10 o'clock, she finally went to sleep around 9:30, 10 o'clock Wednesday night before all of the you-know-what hit the fan. My wife and I turned to each other and said, you know, I think this is going to be the night that Susan sleeps through the night. You feeling it? You feeling it? Oh, yeah. High five. Whoop, whoop. Good night. Love you. Good night. Yep. An hour later, we're just in the middle of a complete you-know-what storm. So I share all of this, 15 minutes into the show, I share all of this with you to let you know Susan got discharged yesterday. She's back home, you know, barking orders at everybody. She's fine. She's great. No more bleeding. She's a trach baby with chronic lung disease, and that's just the way it is, man. There ain't no one doing that right now. She's going to have the trach for a little while longer. God willing, it'll come out this year sometime. But let me tell you, we already know that. We know that. People say, How do you guys even make it through one of those events, let alone all the ones I see going on in your life? And my answer to that is a question. How do you not? How do you not make it through? It's not like you have a choice. I mean, you don't have a choice. You have to make it through. I mean, unless you're just going to, I don't know, I could be like my dad and leave my wife and to raise all the kids by herself. That'd be pretty cool, right? By the way, side note, my dad, I've just told my sister, emailed me, when was it? I don't know, yesterday, the day before, I think he has a week to live. And some of you may be thinking, Sam, oh my God. Well, I met the guy once, twice. I went to meet him for the first time in 2012 just to let him know, hey, it's cool. I know you left mom to raise eight kids by yourself. I forgive you. You know, just wanted to meet him. I've never met the guy. I have no memories of my dad. So it's complicated. My dad isn't probably going to make it another week, but I don't have, you know, I'm not an idiot. I feel horrible, part of me does, but the other part, I don't know the individual, you know? That's a whole other story. We'll talk about that down the road. But anyway, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to leave my wife to raise the kids by herself. You don't have a choice but to stay in the game. You don't have a choice but to stick with it. You don't have a choice but to figure out a solution. We're all faced, and your problems probably bigger than mine. You may have financial relationship issues. It's so much bigger than we live 30 minutes from the greatest airway pediatric hospital in the world. And I actually asked the doctor, I said, what do we do? If we lived in the backwoods of West Virginia or Appalachia, what would we have done with a daughter throwing up blood? And he simply said, oh, you get air flighted. I mean, you get here one way or another, either drive like you did for 30 minutes or you get take air flight or something. We get you here. I'm like, man, how unbelievable is that? So think about this as you go through today. Something's going to hit you today. It's going to be a problem, maybe big, maybe small, or tomorrow, maybe big, maybe small. And you're going to ask yourself, how do I get through it? And the answer immediately is, you don't have a choice. You're getting through it. It's not how do I get through it. It's just, I'm getting through this. Let's put the plan together. I mean, think about just your instincts. What will your instincts tell you to do? My instincts Wednesday night said, load the car, get all the equipment in there, and get her to Children's, and let the experts take it from there. That's it. I had one simple task, get my wife and daughter to Children's Hospital at midnight. That's all I had to do. That's actually very simple for me because I've made that trip many times, and there's no traffic at midnight, and I was very confident that I could do that. Very simple to do. I didn't worry about what was going to happen an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, because I trusted that once I did my job, what I needed to do, somebody else was going to do their job at a very high level. And let me tell you, everybody, from the 21-year-old receptionist that got us back to the trauma unit to Dr. Delacon and the chaplain was there. Kind of freaked me out, not going to lie. Why is a chaplain in the OR with us? You know, but he said he was there because many families, when they come into the situation and there's a team of people, literally 10 to 12 people standing around your daughter, they get freaked out, they get worried, they think that automatically means disaster. No, it just means that we work in teams here. And he's here to answer any of your questions and very knowledgeable guy, man. So I was very happy to speak to the chaplain. We prayed a little bit, and it was good. I thought he was there. You never know. Why is there a chaplain in the OR? But you may be going through something even bigger than that. Let your instincts kick in and do what it is that you do best. Don't try to do somebody else's job, and don't try to do too much, and don't ever worry. Worry is a down payment on a problem that most likely will never happen. I wasn't going to sit here and worry about the worst case scenario. You know why? Because I figured it would not happen. And I was right. And I'm not saying I'm right. Oh, look at me. I'm right. I'm saying I was right about worrying is a down payment on a problem that most likely will never happen. The only thing I could control was getting that car to Children's. That's all I could control, and comforting my wife and daughter. That's it. My job was over once midnight hit, and we got them to Children's because I knew then the experts would do what they do best, and they did. And Susan got discharged yesterday around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, we were sleep-deprived. We were, you know, just operating on fumes. But this will pass as well. It's going to be May 2018 before you know it. And then it's going to be May 2019. And then we'll be putting our little daughter on the bus to go to kindergarten. And then she's going to be graduating elementary school and intermediate and middle school. And then, geez, really? Walking down the aisle at high school? Yeah, that's exactly the way this whole thing's going to play out. So I don't get focused on May of 2017 and how little sleep we've got and how bad our daughter's doing right now and why did she have to have a trach and why does she have chronic lung disease and all this stuff. I focus on what's my job and do my job. What's my job? Do my job. That's it. My job is to report back to you. That's why I made sure, very intentional, to get at least this show out this week to you, to let you know, do your job. Identify what your job is. What's your job? Do your job. What's your job? Do your job. And then let the experts around you, whoever they are, take care of the rest. If your job is simply to delegate, to find individuals to help you in your business or in your personal life, whatever, whoever those people are that you got to rally around to get them in your sphere of influence, get them in your sphere of influence, okay? And then let them do what they do best. Does that make sense? We're back at it, baby. We're back at it. I'm fired up. I'm excited. I'm jacked up. Yeah, maybe need a little bit of sleep, but that's okay. I'll catch up on it. I'll catch up on it. I'm more excited for you. Oh, by the way, come to Cincinnati June 9th and 10th. Let's meet. Come to my live event, samcrowley.live. Get all the details. My live event is less than 30 days away, samcrowley.live. I want to see you there. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.